for a second.
Yep, that's me.
Yeah, you always do that. He want me to support you. Mm. Look at here, look at here, look at here. All right, let's go. Let's go with it.
From the Director, Department of Transportation, and the Managing Director, Milwaukee County Transit System, submitting an informational report on the Green Line Metro Express service north of the Milwaukee River. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Supervisor Demetri Avich.
Yes, Chairman Mayo. well, thank you. That was, and I think that was wise to wait to this item, but that was a question I had for Mr. Natsky. Thank you. Was in regards to the last item, how is the new service being received? Any compliments or complaints or anything that we could better improve?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I think that, in some regards, I think this was a challenging opportunity for folks with disabilities who have gotten used to routes and routines and some of those sort of things. I think one of the things that ends up being true of people with disabilities very frequently, because it's necessitated by the environment and the rules in which we live, we're caused to be adaptable people and to figure out solutions even when they're challenging situations. I think with this, there are some challenging situations. The removal of some bus stops that are familiar and popular with folks, or that there are tricks that we apply, that we use, that we do successfully to accommodate our disabilities, we've now need to sometimes go to Plan B. For example, near where I live, there was a bus stop at a traffic control light that provide easy crossing. However, there were three bus stops within three blocks. And the block where the bus stop is not a traffic control light. The one that was removed did have a traffic control light. So there are some times that in inclement weather, I'll have the opportunity to either cross a busy street without a light using judgment, or I'll have the opportunity to walk a couple of blocks in and out of the way to be able to do that. But those are just some of the breaks of the game and some of the things that that we need to accomplish and that we need to do. And I think there are other modifications and changes with that. I think to the credit of the company, they have worked to try to mitigate those. They have taken feedback where we were able to identify areas of concern and take those into consideration and have, I think, removed some of the more onerous parts of it. But clearly, in the loss of some of the many bus stops that there were, there are some losses. Certainly, I think in working with the marketing department and with MCTS, we tried to get word out responsibly to many groups. I think, again, the New Freedom spokespeople went out to a lot of groups that might be affected by this and did training and provided information. We were pleased to be handing news and notes to make information available to the 12,000 or so consumers we have on that database list, and got word out, I think, responsibly and well. So I think a mixed picture. Certainly people appreciate the greater frequency of the buses along the three routes that are affected by it. So I think that ends up being a positive thing. We think also that one of the things that we're working presently with, an effort that we initiated and I'm sure you'll be hearing more about in upcoming times, is to try to come up with a new information source, maybe using smartphone technology to create apps that will provide information to people in terms of where stops are, to get that information out more responsibly and to be able to do it on the fly. There are times now that when a stop's removed, if you're a person such as me with a visual impairment, you may have known that that stop existed previously, but if it's not a route that you use all the time, you can't adequately predict whether or not that's one of the stops that's removed. So it does require some additional planning in terms of looking ahead, and we think having some more information sources, smartphones, apps. I think there are also some online resources now which outline whether a stop is mid-block, far side. I think we need to continue to promote availability of that kind of information to people. So I think we're working with it.
Thank you. Thank you. That gets to my question, because that was something I was concerned about when we implemented these new Metro Express routes. I'm very excited to hear. We've been kind of chatting about the smartphones and GPS location apps that some of them I think are even actually either free or extremely low cost. But that was a concern that I had, is that with the changes, was there information available in the forms of communication that persons with disabilities could use, whether you're visually impaired or hearing impaired? You know, I was nervous because our call center has been significantly downsized, but I want to hear about that too. So really my last question is more for Mr. Grant, Mr. Chairman, and that is maybe a little bit of an update on the smartphone idea, and then also on the different forms of communication we have available specifically for people with disabilities, and also with the call center. How has the call center been handling all these new questions? Which is not really a call center anymore. It's like just a few people. But thank you.
Well, let me start with the individuals that that have been handling the calls related to the new Express service. We did bring in some extra staffing during the first 2 weeks to handle what we anticipated would be a large volume of calls as a public as the service is introduced and the public tries to get accustomed to the new routes. And certainly the first week we were very, very busy. We had four individuals actually manning phones and on an 8-hour day basis. That subsided relatively quickly by the second week, which tells me that the marketing effort and the communication effort that we made in the weeks and months leading up to the service were produced very favorable results, because the public had a very, very, fairly good understanding of the route changes and the schedules prior to the service being implemented. I'd ask our chief operating officer to join me. Her name is Sandra Keltner, and she can certainly address your other question. Let me just speak to your question on the mobile apps. We're working with UWM, IMDS, and other areas within Milwaukee County and Office of Persons with Disabilities to develop a new app for transit that will assist both all customers in having advanced information as to what the schedule for service is. We're hoping that in the long run, perhaps not much farther than a year away, we will be able to provide real-time information to customers. And this is a student group at UWM that's looking at developing this app. And we're excited about it because it's going to be a development where it will not be a one-time development, but we will have add-on features to this app so that we can continue to make new information available to the public through iPhones, Androids, or smartphones. Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Okay.
As an answer, before you.
I'm done. Thank you.
Okay.
If I could just add a bit to the information Mr. Grant provided. This is an outgrowth of an inquiry that we had from our office, trying to expand information about the accessibility of county government to services. And I think it really bears some great opportunities, because the product they're going to create will, in fact, be accessible. And I think that is, you know, vitally important in terms of how this goes. We had a meeting that Mr. Grant and Ms. Kellner and a number of other folks attended last week by the Transit Services Advisory Committee, where representatives from UWM student groups and faculty were there to take information about some of the qualities and products that a smartphone app might be able to do in terms of providing feedback on quality of trips, information where people might be able to get, you know, passes, the locations of bus stops, as I mentioned, being far side or near side, and some of those kind of things. So I think it was a useful meeting that the Transit Services Advisory Council participated in being able to provide that. This is an exciting opportunity, because what UWM is doing is building on a success that they've had on their campus, building and creating an app, and they have 15 students, I believe, who are dedicated to this, hand-selected by faculty to work with county IMSD and various, you know, programs within county government to solicit the information from customers, have these students develop it, and really create some opportunities for internships going forward and making this a live, viable, you know, continuing kind of effort. So we think it has some great potency. We also noticed that there's been some interest in having QR codes at bus stop locations as well. you know, which might work for people having smartphones and being able to use QR codes and being able to access information readily at locations throughout the system, which we think would be important. Certainly also Ms. Keller and I serve on the city's public transportation review board, which is also vitally interested in spreading that information. And we think there are just some great opportunities on the horizon applying accessible technology.
Okay. Mr. Grant, can you also, even though we talk about item number four, can you talk about the green line, red line, and blue line? So what's the feedback about that?
Well, actually, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, the feedback from both drivers as well as the public has been very, very positive. You know, what we're being told is that our riders actually they like the service. And, you know, one comment that we receive is that they would actually like to see more express bus service in the system.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Supervisor Hawkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have perhaps an early version of a application on my iPhone here. Supervisor Murkowski, this is called a cellular telephone. I apologize, Mr. Chairman. I recognize my.
Does it have Mork and Mindy on it?
I recognize my comments should be directed to the chairman, and I apologize for my misstep.
Okay.
See ya. I do have this is on my iPhone here. I do have this your own set of wheels application, and it tells me if I left now, I could catch a 23, which is taking me east to the 15, which I could catch down to my house on the south side. So we do have something already, Mr. Chairman.
He's talking to me through you. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't get your phone call.
We'll talk later. Again, Mr. Chairman, we do have something now, and it's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
It tells me I can get home in about 40 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll see you later. But one thing I noticed with this program, you have to specify that you are in Milwaukee, WI.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just figure out by GPS or just assuming because you're riding MCTS, you're in Milwaukee. You have to specify you're in Milwaukee to get anywhere else. It'll bleep at you. So I'm encouraged to see this development. We do need more good uses of technology like this. We can at least drag the county to the late 20th century with it. And I will echo what Mr. Grant just stated about the interest in more express buses. Of course, to do that, we need funding. Mm-hmm. Funding.
Dedicated
funding. Yes, sir. We do have, if I may, Mr. Chairman, we do have a bus driver and fleet manager in the audience. May I ask him a question about his experience with the service?
Sure.
Okay. Mr. Kechheimer.
Okay. Good morning. My name is John Kechheimer.
Can you give him a seat? Yeah. You don't stand like this. Give a seat.
Sorry, a little informal. I'm a bus driver for MCTS, and I'm a chief steward at KK, and I represent 300 drivers and what I wanted to bring today was I'm mimicking Mr. Grant. The drivers and the passengers absolutely love the Green Line. Everybody at our station, of course, with seniority, is going after the Green Line because the amount of buses out there are helping the passengers move quicker, obviously, from the North Shore to the airport. And the same thing with the Blue Line. I can't comment on the Red Line, but the Blue Line, which mimics the 23, almost until it gets to 60th and Fond du Lac Avenue. Only positive things. The first day the Green Line went into effect on Sunday, the 19th, I got it that morning. And there was a lot of turmoil with people. And, of course, the first week people were asking me, what should I do when people want to get off? And I told them, well, until we hear from management, if somebody wants to get off, let them off, you know, because they don't – the learning curve takes – obviously not as long as I thought. I thought it would take 2 to 3 weeks, but after doing the Green Line a week later, people understood they don't stand on Bradford, or, you know, or Park. Stand on the other ones that the other streets that pick up. So I just want to say it's wonderful, and I want to thank the county for going after this, and I thank MCTS. They've been phenomenal working with us. There's been some glitches with times, not enough time here, not enough time there to go to the bathroom, but they've been phenomenal. So I just want to thank everybody for working with us and the drivers, and of course with MCTS. Thank you.
You need to fill that car so we got it for the record.
I got one here. I just didn't get it the right person.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Well, I think that does it. No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And from now on, I will ensure all comments go straight to you, sir.
Thank you, Supervisor. I appreciate it. Are we down? Item number five, please.